We are in the third week of our series for this Easter season on this third Sunday of Easter, thinking about our thinking. It's important because your success in life depends in large part on your thoughts. Your life always moves in the direction of your strongest thoughts. In any area of your life where things are going well, you can trace it back to your thought life. Every achievement, every success starts with a thought. On the other hand, if there's an area of your life that is not going well, then chances are you fell into some faulty thinking along the way. If you have a bad habit or self-defeating behavior, there's probably a limiting belief or a lie that you buy that is keeping you from changing that behavior or dropping that habit. The way you think and what you think drive your actions and direct your behavior, in turn determining outcomes. And your thinking not only determines your actions and outcomes, but actually impacts the way you feel about life. We often connect feelings to the heart, but our feelings are actually driven much more by our thoughts. We might experience our feelings in our heart, but what causes you to feel a certain way begins with your mind and how we think. The fact of the matter is you can control your thoughts. You can decide what it is you're going to think about. All of this is nothing new. Scientific research has finally caught up with what Scripture has taught us all along. Throughout the Bible, we're taught to pay attention to our thoughts, that if we want to head in the right direction and find success in life, we need to learn to think correctly. In his letter to the Romans, St. Paul famously wrote, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed." How? By the renewal of your mind. By the renewal of your mind. Last week, we looked at a first mental move, that's what we can call it, a mental move, replacing the lies we believe, especially lies we believe about ourselves, with the truth. Lie, believed as truth, will affect your life as if it were true. The chief lie we need to replace is that sin and death have the final word. This lie leads to many of the negative emotions and self-defeating thoughts we have and fuels lots of other lies we tell ourselves. We need to replace it with the truth that Jesus Christ conquered sin and death once and for all and forever. Today we're going to look at a second mental move that we can make to renew our minds, and this move will expand on last week's. To get us started, it will be helpful to briefly reference neuroscience, just what you'd expect to hear from me this morning. I actually hesitate to even go there since I really don't know what I'm talking about. There are plenty of people here who probably do, but perhaps you can bear with me patiently because I think I have a valid point to make when it comes to living with faith. Anyway, here goes. Every thought you have produces a neurochemical change in your brain. Your brain literally redefines itself around that new thought. And the same message sent multiple times will create a kind of pathway that makes the same thought easier to think over and over and over again. If you've ever gone hiking in the woods, also a topic I know nothing about, the paths that are most traveled are the easiest to hike. But at a certain point, if you think about it, someone had to blaze the trail. Somebody had to create that pathway. Well, throughout our lives, we create trails of thought, patterns of thinking, that at first, perhaps, require energy and effort, but then, repeated, get easier, eventually requiring virtually no thought at all. As the mental pathways become more established and get more entrenched in our thinking, they can become unconscious competencies for us, like driving a car playing a sport, tying your shoes. Those pathways can work for us in very useful and helpful ways, but they can also work against us. If you have a habit of going quickly to worry or fear or anger or cynicism, or turning to self-defeating habits in times of stress, you may have established pathways for yourself that are working against you. So, if the first mental move is to remove lies and replace them with truth, the second move to renew our minds is to create new pathways that work for us. The question is, how? Well, we can actually find an answer in today's gospel. The scene takes place on Easter Sunday night, when Jesus first appears to the apostles after his resurrection. Last week, we looked at the same scene from the perspective of John's gospel. This week, we hear from Luke's gospel. Same event, same scene, just two different perspectives. Luke tells us this. Jesus stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. The scene is actually a little comical if you think about it. The apostles' first thought was not, "Jesus has conquered the grave, hooray, he's risen from the dead, hallelujah." Their first thought was, "Hey guys, I think this place is haunted." Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your heart? Look at my hands and feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" So Jesus challenges their thinking. First, he invites them to look at him, as in take a closer look. Second, he invites them to touch him, to feel that he is real. Third, he invites them to eat with him. Step by step, Jesus is creating a new thought pathway for the apostles. They thought he was dead. Now they're challenged to change their mind, to understand he's alive. If this is your first time in church or you're new to the idea of Christianity and understandably incredulous that a man could rise from the dead, I get it. I understand it. Your position, your perspective makes perfect sense. Besides, you're in the company, the distinguished company of the apostles. They were incredulous at the idea of Jesus' resurrection. So he had to help them develop a pathway so that they could understand. At first, he did this through the physical evidence of his appearance, which was the easiest, the most obvious approach. But then he goes deeper, relying on their shared history and their knowledge of Scripture. He said to them, These are my words that I have spoken to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. He takes the apostles back to lessons he had taught them before his death and resurrection. Throughout his time with the apostles, he tried to prepare them for his death, but they never got it. They never grasped it. He reminds them that his death and resurrection were all a part of God's great big plan from the beginning, as revealed throughout the Old Testament. It was revealed in the law of Moses that God would raise up a great Messiah, a Savior, to save his people. It was revealed in the prophet Isaiah that the Messiah would be a suffering servant who would bear the sins of the people. It was revealed through the prophet Hosea that the Messiah would suffer and die. It was revealed through the Psalms that this Messiah would be God's own son. The Psalms also foretold that the rulers of the people would conspire against God's own son to destroy him. And Psalm 16 specifically foretells that death will not have the last word, but rather the Messiah will conquer death. Ever wonder why the Bible is so big, why there's so many books? Well, it's because God intends for it to blaze pathways for our thinking. His truth is being reinforced. throughout Scripture over and over and over again. Look at the next verse. Then he opened their minds to understand Scripture. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. He opened their minds, summing up everything he had taught them about overcoming our twin enemies of sin and death through his death and resurrection. The passage continues and concludes, you are witnesses of these things to all the nations. Here he gives them the plan moving forward. Instead of hiding out in fear for their lives, they are to be his witnesses incredibly to all the nations. Changing their minds leads to a complete change of life. The way to renew our mind and overcome thoughts that lead to bad behaviors and negative emotions, the way to real positive life change is to choose to establish new mental paths. You don't get rid of negative mental paths as much as you build new positive ones. You create new positive ones that lead you to healthier behaviors and more helpful emotions. You create new paths that help you more quickly rely on the truth of God's love, the truth of our victory in Christ. There are a number of methods that you can use to do it, but perhaps the simplest, most accessible one for most all of us is simply to spend time in Scripture, or to spend more time in Scripture. Read, meditate, even memorize Scripture. We can all read Scripture. All of us can do that. Last week, we invited you to sign up for our daily devotional to help you do that. You can sign up anytime online. Meditation sounds intimidating, but it needn't be. As my friend Rick Warren likes to say, if you know how to worry, you already know how to meditate. Worry turns a negative emotion over and over again in your mind. Meditation takes God's word and does exactly the same thing. Memorization is an even more direct way to form those pathways that we're talking about. When you memorize God's word, it becomes easy to turn to it. It becomes easy to more and more rely upon it, especially when you're tempted to turn to negative thoughts. Memorization isn't for everyone, for sure. I know I struggle with it, but if you're good at it, give it a try. To give you a sample of what we're talking about, take a look at churchnativity.com/top3, where you'll find verses that we rely upon and refer to quite often. For instance, if you struggle with believing that you can actually change your mind, memorize and meditate on Philippians, which says, I am confident of this, that the one who began the good work in me will continue to completion. If you struggle with worry, memorize this verse from Philippians. Have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And if you want to overcome feelings of shame, memorize this one from Romans. For there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In addition to this resource, today we have on hand our prayer ministers immediately following Mass. If you have a special prayer request, are in need of health or healing, could use a positive word of encouragement over you this morning, or just feel like you could use an extra prayer, come on down to the altar after Mass and we'll pray for you. If you're online, you're included too. Again, just go to churchnativity.com/top3 and we'll hook you up with our online prayer team. Rewiring our brain definitely takes prayer. It also takes effort and energy, but it's worth it. It's worth it because when you change your thinking, you change your life. Think about that.